mercy of God. What about that? What about that? When my foot had slipped off into the miry pit, God saw it and gave me mercy. What a blessing. Gave his life for mine. Praise God and the Lamb forever. If you have your, we're interested in the book of James, chapter number 1 this evening. The book of James, chapter number 1. I'll ask you if you will stand to your feet. We'll try to move quickly if we can. But I feel like this is the instruction that God would have for somebody. May not be for everybody. I hope it is. We pray that it is. But maybe it'll meet you at some point in time. If it's not for tonight, it'll meet you at some point in time during this week. I've been studying on this for some time, and I pray tonight that you might get a blessing. The book of James, chapter 1, verse number 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. That's the book of James, chapter 1, verses 5 through 8, if correctly read. And I want to preach. We've been preaching a number of weeks on God's answer to prayer. Been preaching that on Wednesday nights. And I really have geared that this would be a Wednesday night message. But God wants it preached tonight. And it is seeking wisdom. I feel like there's somebody, it's me, I know it is. I am seeking the wisdom of God. There are decisions that need to be made. There's matters that are at hand, and I need the wisdom of God. And the Bible tells us very clearly what we can do if we lack wisdom or if we need wisdom. And so we want to preach on that tonight to get some help. Father, would you touch us and help us then tonight? God, we need your direction. We need your guidance. Lord, I pray you'd be pleased to speak to us tonight, God, through your Spirit, by the power of the Scriptures, and by your presence of your Son. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for all that you do for us. We ask, God, that you'd bless us tonight, God, as we meet together. We thank you for the good songs of Zion, for the folks that have gathered tonight, for those that have tuned in online. We appreciate them. God, we thank you for salvation. We thank you, Father, God, that you've just taken care of us as well as you have. God, we praise you in and for it. Tonight, God, there are decisions that are upcoming, things that we face, Lord, that we know tonight. God, we cannot make that choice. That decision will not be made on our own accord. Lord, would you give us then of your wisdom, God? Would you help us, Father, as we seek your face in mercy? And for this, Lord, we ask in Jesus' name, amen and amen. I thank you for standing, and you may be seated tonight. Number one, if you are seeking wisdom, I want us to understand the goal or the pursuit of wisdom. You and I need to be pursuing wisdom. Now look at our text again. If any of you lack wisdom, as if there's any doubt. We lack the wisdom of God. We need the wisdom of God. I have never met a Christian that has all of the wisdom that they need. Amen? And yet, it's still available for us to call upon and to seek. Now, the word if, very first word, if, it is a conditional statement. And what it means is, if what follows it is reality or is true, this is what to do. If any of you lack wisdom, that's a true statement. Here's what that you need to do. The condition is this, lacking wisdom. The word lack is the word lipo. It means to come up short. It means to be destitute. It means that you don't have the amount that you need. It means that you have a deficiency in that area. Well, preacher Darren, are you calling me not smart? Then what is wisdom? The Greek word is the word sophia. It does not mean your intellect. It does not mean what grade level you finished in school. It has nothing to do with your IQ. Wisdom in the Bible is according to God's viewpoint. It is the right use of knowledge. It is a skill, write this down, it is skill at godly living. You and I could certainly use some skill when it comes to godly living. Wisdom in our behavior. Wisdom in our character. Wisdom in our living for the Lord Jesus Christ. It is that which is clean. It is that which is clear. It is that which is unclouded. I promise you this tonight. If you are not living clean, you will not get the wisdom of God. He will not fill a dirty vessel. He's looking for someone who is clean. Now, second of all, there's the pursuit of wisdom. And he says, if you lack wisdom, second of all, we should pray for wisdom. The Bible says, let him ask of God. The word ask, we've talked about this word before. It is aiteo. It means to desire. It means to beg. It means to crave. Do you crave the wisdom of God? Do you need, do you desire the wisdom of Almighty God? I'll say this, he's the only source of that wisdom. You can't get it from an Ivy League school. You can't get it from anywhere other than from God. If you want wisdom from God, you're going to have to go just to him. It's not available anywhere else. Now, my Bible says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally. The word giveth is the word didomai. It means that he giveth and giveth and giveth again. Over and over and over, it is a present participle. He's continually giving. I would remind you, same word. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Amen. God is a giving God. The word here, how does he give? He gives liberally. Now when we think about the word liberally, I looked the definition up. It means generously, lavishly. It is an unbounded supply. But not in this verse. No. It's much more than that. It is a Greek word, which is the Greek word haplos. It means to braid. You may braid or plait someone's hair. This is what he's saying. When God gives you wisdom, he begins to braid in love and wisdom, joy and wisdom, peace and wisdom. He begins to put in all, mercy and grace, all these other characterizations. God begins to weave, intermingling it liberally. Thank God for this. Now watch this. That God giveth to all men liberally, and he upbraideth not. That word upbraideth, it is the word onadizo, and it means he won't get on to you. Have you ever had your mama to get on to you? Mama, I want that candy. You can't have it. Mama, I want that candy. You can't have it. But mama, I'm your boy. I want that candy. You can't have it. But mama, please, I'll hold my breath. Hold your breath. But you ain't getting that candy. You understand what I mean? Yeah. He upbraideth not. Let me give you a better illustration. That was a poor one. Paul, what a man of God. What a great prayer warrior. He came to the Lord. He said, Lord, I have a thorn in the flesh. Lord, I have the messenger of Satan. Would you take it away? God said, no. Lord, I have a messenger of Satan. Lord, I have a thorn in the flesh. Would you take it away? God said, no. Lord, I prayed a third time. I have a messenger of Satan. I have a thorn in the flesh. God, would you please take this thing away? No, Paul. My grace is sufficient. God did not give to Paul what he was seeking, what he was asking for. I'll give you another one. Jeremiah, that great man of God, the weeping prophet that prayed over Judah. And Judah would rebel and rebel. And Jeremiah would pray and seek God's face. And he would cry and weep. And he warned the people and he'd weep to God about the condition. And God told Jeremiah, quit praying for them. Stop. Oh, but God said, please quit praying for them. The decision has been made. The decision is final. They're living in sin. It's not clean. It's not clear. It's clouded. They're not getting my blessing. Quit praying for them. Two men of God, Jeremiah and Paul, asked God for a certain thing, and God said no. But in this verse, my Bible says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. In other words, he won't tell you no. He won't get on to you about it. He wants you to have the wisdom of God. He's encouraging you to pray and seek the face of God. Not much preaching from the pulpit in my lifetime have I heard from men who'll say, here's what to do to get the wisdom of God. And when you need the wisdom of God, when you have to make a choice, when you have to make a decision, when you need to live for godly in the middle of a crooked and perverse generation, here's what you need to do. Not much preaching on that. The book of James is not very popular in many churches, but God says, if you'll ask me, I'll give liberally. If you ask me, I'll not get on to you. I won't upbraid you about it. The Bible says, and it shall be given him. God will give to you a measure of his wisdom. I'm just going to go on record tonight and say this. That's a prayer I should pray every day of my life. Amen. Every day when I go to God, first thing I do is I confess to him my sinfulness. Amen. The second thing I do is I start praising him. I start rejoicing in the goodness of God. Before I even give him my prayer list, I start rejoicing in how good he's been to me. And I'm telling you something. Right there I need to insert, Lord, would you give me wisdom? God, would you help me to have understanding? If you look at the Old Testament, in the book of Exodus chapter 28 and the book of Exodus chapter 31, look at Exodus chapter 31. The first time wisdom appears is in Exodus 28. I want to read Exodus 31. And the second time you see it, and you know there's seeds in the Bible about wisdom. And look what wisdom is in Exodus 31. Let's look at verse 1. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, see, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and in understanding and in knowledge and in all manner of workmanship to devise cunning works, to work in gold and in silver and in brass and in cutting of stones, to set them and in carving of timber, to work in all manner of workmanship. Now, when you and I think about the word wisdom, that's not what we think about. Skill at working in gold and silver and working in timber and working. There's even some about embroidering the curtains that would go in the tabernacle. God gave these folk wisdom, filled them with his Spirit to be able to accomplish these things. I'm telling you, our churches are missing wisdom. Godly wisdom in leadership. We make poor choices. We behave unwisely. And I think it's because we are not seeking for the wisdom of God. I believe tonight that God wants you to be skilled in wisdom in doing right. Let me go further. God wants you to have wisdom in loving your brother or your sister. God wants you to have wisdom in when you preach. God wants you to have wisdom when you teach. God wants you to have wisdom when you sing. God wants you to have wisdom when you testify. God, I believe God wants you to have skill, wisdom, when you're studying the Word of God. Don't just read it. Go to him and say, God, would you open to me the treasures of the Word of God, and would you grant me wisdom that I might have understanding and discernment, not only that I might help myself, but that I might help the people of God and encourage them. There's the pursuit of wisdom. There is the fact that we ought to be praying for wisdom. I'm encouraged so far. Thirdly, there's a prerequisite for wisdom. Oh, Pastor, I knew it. I was getting ready to sign up for Wisdom 201. But evidently, there's a prerequisite. There's other classes that I have to take before I can get in that wisdom class. And, oh, you just burst my bubble, Pastor Darren. What is the prerequisite for wisdom? Look at verse number 6. But let him ask in faith. You want wisdom? Ask God in faith. Lord, what should I do about that? God, would you help me to love my brother right? God, would you help me to study better? God, would you deepen the preaching of the word that my people might not just get a scratch and sniff preacher, but let them have some depth. Not just give them a peanut butter sandwich. Let them have a steak. Amen. And one of them expensive steaks. Amen. Let him ask in faith. Now there is saving faith. There is. There is sustaining faith. There is believing faith. There is overcoming faith. There is faith for every area of my life. Let him ask in faith. Nothing wavering. The word wavering is a word that describes the gentle rolling of the ocean. There are some people that like to just get out there on the boat and just feel that gentle rolling. I tell you, if I get on that ocean long enough, that gentle rolling will make me sick. Amen. Amen. But they like that gentle rolling. Okay, there's waves there. You know, he said, I don't want you to even have that gentle roll. I don't want you to have nothing wavering. I don't want you to be down and up, down and up, down and up, up and down. I don't want you to be doing that. I don't want you to have any wavering. You and I need to be steadfast, always abounding in the work of the Lord. When you ask in faith, I want you to trust me for it. Don't go anywhere else. Here's what happens. You ask God in faith, and you go pick up some other book, and you start reading what Reverend Sounding Brass and Dr. Tinkling Cymbal has to say, and you'll say, I think I'm going to listen to what they say. And rather than waiting on God, you're waiting on Dr. Sounding Brass. Rather than waiting on God, you're doing what Reverend Tinkling Cymbal said. Oh, Preacher Darren, aren't we listening to you? No, honey, I'm reading to you the Word of God. And I'm coming straight from the book. He said, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. Here's what I want to say. If you ask God for wisdom, wait for it. Do not doubt it. He's going to give it to you. He told Paul no. He told Jeremiah no when it came to certain things. But when you come to him for wisdom, God wants you to have it. Amen. All right, look with me. The Bible says in verse 6, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, period. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. A different word for wavering. A different word for waves. This is not the gentle wave that's just, God said, I don't want you to just be slightly up and down. This word here is a word that means boisterous. Tossed, forced by the wind like a typhoon. I mean, it's going to drown you. It's going to capsize you. It's going to overcome you. God says, I don't want you to waver in your prayer life. I don't want you to waver in your church attendance and in your Bible reading, because when you waver, you'll get ripped asunder by the waves and the currents of this life. Verse 7, for let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. That up and down fella, that man tossed by the winds. I mean, I've seen what I call weather vane preachers. A wind hits them and they'll say, well, this is the way. And then the wind hits another way and they'll say, this is the way. And they're blown around by the wind and whatever's popular. Oh, no. God said, if you're unstable, God said, if you're doubting, God said, if you are tossed around even gently or boisterously by the waves, you will not receive anything from God. That's what he says. And preacher, I don't like to hear that. Amen. He's just trying to, if you want a blessing, don't be wavering. Amen? And that's not easily done. Now, let's think about it. How many times have you prayed and you wondered what God was going to do with it? You prayed, God, will you give me wisdom? I don't know if you'll really give it to me or not. I mean, I'm not too educated. I'm not too smart. My family's a black sheep of all the families in the community. Lord, I don't know. I don't know how this goes. Hey! He said, if you doubt it, it's not going to happen. How many times do you pray and then doubt? Amen? Just believe. Are you persuaded? Are you committed to it? Amen. Verse 8. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. You see, double-minded, that word means double-souled. A man that's unstable, your prayer life will be hindered if you're double-souled. That wavering in life will diminish the effectiveness of your prayer life. The word is dipsukos, dipsukos. And it really means you can't serve two masters. Either you'll love the one and hate the other. I heard Brother Keith read this morning before Sunday school. He read about a man by the name of Joshua. And he said, you know, if it seemed evil to you, whatever you want to do, but as for, you need to make a choice. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He was not unstable. He was not double-minded when he said that. He truly intended that he's going to serve God. He's going to serve God all the way. Well, hallelujah. Now, the word unstable, listen to this. It's a big word. Akatahistami. What does that mean? That means if you're akatahistami, you won't stand for anything. Amen. You'll go with whatever's popular. You'll be part of this talk, and you'll be part of this talk, and all you want to do is spin stuff. Amen. You're a spinster. You're all over the place. You know what Jude said? Jude said that we'd be earnestly contending for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. What does that mean? Standing. Having done all to stand, stand, therefore. God wants you and I to stand. He does not want us to be unstable. All right, so we've talked about wisdom. We've talked about the pursuit of wisdom and the prayer for wisdom. And the prerequisite is to have faith. Faith, you had faith to be saved. You got to have faith to get this wisdom. All right, let's turn to chapter 3. There's a personality of wisdom. Verse 17, James 3:17. What is the outcome of godly wisdom? What is the outcome? When you receive wisdom, what comes with it? What is God intermingling? What is he plotting and planning? What is he braiding inside the wisdom? Look, these are some characters, some personalities, a testimony that comes with wisdom. Watch this, verse 17. The wisdom, Sophia, that is from above. Time out. If there is a wisdom from above, there is a wisdom from beneath. Danger. Danger. You can go back and read in this chapter in verse number 15 and 16 if you want to read about that other kind of wisdom, but I don't even want to talk about it. Verse 17, the wisdom that is from above is first pure. The first building block. I already said, you'll not get wisdom if you're not living clean. You'll not get wisdom if you're not clear with God. It means to be free from defilement, unstained and unspotted by the world. It is first pure, then peaceable. Erinikos, it means to bring together without separation, without quarreling, without fighting, without disagreement. Well, that might work in your marriage. That might work in your business. That might work in the school system. That might work in the church. Wisdom from above is first pure and then it's peaceable. There will not be any division about it. There'll be no discord about the wisdom of God. When God gives you wisdom, you'll know it. Everybody will see it because it brings togetherness. It brings unity. The wisdom, the decisions that God leads you to, guided by the wisdom of God, will bring unity. It didn't mean the world would be for it, but it means God would put his stamp of blessing upon it. It is peaceable. Look, next word. It is gentle. Epiakis. It means kind. It means gracious. Let me ask you a question. When you talk with people, do you try? I mean, you make a conscious effort to see the best in them? Or is it your nature to see the flaws in them? As a pastor for years and years, I always figure Somebody's probably playing a game with me. They wanting to get something out of me. Wanting to get an offer. They're wanting to get a meeting. See? I look for flaws. Is that looking for the best in people? It's not. So if I do that, do you do that? You take a security guard that works at the prison. And he's walking. And he works. And is he looking to see the best in people? Or is he trained to watch for their flaws? And does he build up the wall to know, hey, I know this is a game somebody's trying to play with me. Some of you ladies, some of you men, you build walls. You're wall builders. You're not going to let anybody get close to your bubble. You ain't letting anybody in. Not just because of COVID, but you're not letting anybody in because that's just who you are. When you meet new people, when you get around people you've known for years, do you look for the best in them? I'm talking about the personality of wisdom. Look at this. Full of mercy. I skipped. Gentle and easy to be entreated. What does that mean, easy to be entreated? It means approachable. It means, are you willing to listen? When someone comes to talk to you, are you so headstrong? Do you get insulted when someone comes to talk to you and you have to be the know-it-all? What's getting quieter and quieter in here when I preach? Are you easy to be entreated? Are you the type of person that the whole community knows, hey, I can talk to that pastor. He's willing to listen to me. He's approachable. Or Lord, don't get around him. He'll blow you out before you ever get started. And he's going to blow a gasket. You'll be the subject of his next service, his next sermon. You can't talk to him about nothing. There's some people I know. They're not easy to be entreated. I mean, I know immediately. I know before I talk to them, based on life, experience. You can't tell them this. They'll blow a gasket. Amen, Pastor. Amen. You are telling exactly right. There, listen, some people, you will say, my mind is already made up. Don't confuse me with the facts. Amen. You're not even willing to listen to the facts. You've already got your mind made up because it was your buddy. Somebody you're close to. Somebody you really love. And you're willing to look over and bend the rules because they cause your heart to beat just extra. Amen? Well, it may not be popular preaching, but it's the truth. There's a personality of wisdom. And look what else it is. It is, let's read it again. It's pure, peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy. Mercy. Lord, have mercy. I heard a preacher preach on Lord, have mercy recently. The word is eleos. It didn't say grace. It said eleos. People that are in misery, God's mercy is for those that are in misery. God's mercy is for those who are in pain. God's mercy is for those who have a problem. God's mercy is in built into his wisdom. Now the word grace is the Greek word charis. It's a courtroom term. It's a police station term. It's a lawyer term. It's about the court. Grace, will you hear me? There's a difference. Charis, grace, is for guilty people. Mercy, eleos, is for people that have a problem, that are in misery. Let me give an illustration. As a sinner, I've said it earlier, my foot had slipped into the miry pit with both feet now, and I'm on my way to hell. And God saw my plight. God saw my condition. He saw me with a problem. He saw me in misery. He knew that I was going down. And what did he do? In mercy, he sent his son to die in my place. In mercy, he sent his son to where I was to lift me up out of the horrible pit, to put my feet on a solid rock and to establish my goings. That's what he did. But now grace, guess what? When I was guilty, there I stood as a sinner, and God showed me that I was guilty in my sins. By his grace, it's for the guilty, he washed my sins away. In mercy, he died for me. And, oh boy, in mercy he died for me, and in grace he forgave me. Wow. And wisdom is full of mercy. In other words, It is involved with helping others. It is involved to get out and do a work to be a blessing to someone else that's in trouble. Mercy is the most asked prayer in Scripture, and it's always answered. Never been a time, I read in the Bible, I said earlier, there's never been a time that I saw someone ask for mercy that God didn't give it. Same thing about wisdom. When people ask for wisdom, God gives wisdom, okay? Now, it says it is full of mercy and good fruits. It's without partiality, and it's without hypocrisy. Doesn't play favorites, right? It's not an act. Now, I want to read a verse out of Colossians, and I'll be done. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Paul, the apostle, is in prison. And the pastor at the church of Colossae, his name is Epaphras. He traveled over 1,000 miles because in his church they were having some problems and he needed discernment, he needed counsel, he needed advice, and Epaphras said, who better to talk to than Paul, who started this church built upon the foundation of Jesus Christ. And he left the work at Colossae and he traveled 1,000 miles to go see Paul. And when he got there, he began to tell Paul many wonderful things. Why? He says in verse 3, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit as it does also in you, since the day that you heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth. As ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. Now Epaphras came and laid out his burden. He said, these are wonderful people. He said, here's some things where we're right, and here's some things where we've got disputations. Paul, I need counsel. And Paul, the first thing he does is he doesn't blow them out. The first thing he does is he tells them where they're right. Church, I'm going to tell you where you're right. Will you hear me? Jesus Christ is the Son of God. The love that you have one for another, by the fact you love each other, it shows people that you're disciples of Christ. Yeah, I believe you love God. I believe you love the church. I believe you love your family. I believe you love your pastor. I believe that you want to serve Christ. I think that you want to do right. I think you want revival. I mean, we got a taste of it last week, and I think you're excited to death. You want even a bigger taste of it. You're wanting to see God do big, great things in your life, and you're not wanting to put the brakes on and stop him. You want God just to go ahead and do it, Lord. Just go ahead and do it. Have I misjudged you, or am I right? Paul says, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. Verse 9, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. He said, I'll tell you what the next step, what y'all need, Colossae, before I even address what things are wrong in your life. You need knowledge of the will of God. You need to know about the will of God for your life. And you need to know it in the wisdom of God. And you need to have spiritual understanding in the wisdom of God. Well, Preacher Darren, how am I going to get it? Well, I'm going to tell you, honey, where it starts. And I'll be done. By asking him. Be honest. When was the last time that you ran down to the old-fashioned altar and said, oh God, would you grant unto me wisdom? It's not what you've been praying. I know I'm right. You run down here to pray for Aunt Bessie, and that's not wrong. And you run down here to pray for Uncle Charlie, and that's not wrong. And you run down here to pray for sinners to be saved, and that's not wrong. And you run down here to pray for the preacher and for the power of God in your church, and that's not wrong. But when was the last time you asked God, Lord, would you give me wisdom? not the wisdom of man, but the guidance and the counsel of Almighty God. If Epaphras traveled 1,000 miles to go see Paul, how far, when I bow my knee to God, will he leave his throne and come to where I am, or lift me to be where he is, that he might grant me the wisdom that I need? There was a second lieutenant in the Navy, and he was making his first trip on a destroyer all the way across the ocean. And this young man had impeccable training, and it was assigned to him to take this destroyer out of the harbor and to bring it back across the ocean to the United States of America. And it was the first endeavor, first opportunity he had to do such a thing, and he wanted to do it right. He was very bright, very intelligent, and in just a moment, the deck was buzzing with action. He was barking commands here and barking commands there, and everything on board that ship was moving like a Swiss clock, and that destroyer navigated its way straight safely out of that harbor. They did it in record time, and someone came to the young ensign and said, "Sir, you have a message from the captain." And he thought that was strange because it was a radio message from the captain. And he looked at the message that it was written down, and it said, "Young man, this is the captain. You have done an excellent job. You have done it with great speed. You have done it with great dispatch and according to the book. But there is an unwritten rule, one that you've overlooked. The next time you set sail, make sure the captain is on board." Amen. He left the captain at the harbor. Now, you and I are setting sail across this voyage of life, and you need to make sure the captain's on board. "Oh, Preacher Darren, I'm saved. He's with me. I know that." But are you doing it according to his wisdom? Are you living your life according to his commandments for your life? Are you seeking wisdom? I'm just going to be honest. I started tonight to say this. I need direction. I need the advice and the counsel of Almighty God. There are decisions that need to be made, big decisions that affect all of us. And how dare I do it without the captain's decision-making wisdom on board with what needs to happen? You stand to your feet. You may be a young person. You have things in your life that you want to see happen but are still yet unfulfilled, and you don't know the timing of it. You just ask the leadership and the guidance of God, the counsel of the Almighty. I'm telling you, you ought to ask him about it tonight. "Lord, is it your will? God, give me the wisdom of when and how. And Lord, I need you, Father, to help me. Lord, I need this for my family. I'm a daddy. I'm a husband. I need guidance. I need the wisdom of God." Folks are coming. Praise the Lord. Thank you. You're coming to seek God's face. "Lord, I need your wisdom." Maybe you'll come and say, "Will you give our pastor wisdom?" Man, he's a candidate, that pastor of yours. He's a candidate. He needs it. Pray for him. Pray for our wives. Pray for our children. God, grant us. God, grant us your wisdom. I don't want to make one step without you. I don't want to sail the destroyer out of the harbor without your wisdom on it, without you on board, without it being your will. Father, you know my voice. Father, you know my name. I'm your child. You saved me back yonder, and you've been feeding me and providing for me and supplying for me every day. And God, I thank you that you did it even when I wasn't saved.
And I acknowledge that. You're a good and a gracious God. Tonight, Lord, we need your guidance. We dare not get in your way. Lord, we want to do things according to your timing and not how we see fit. God, I pray that you would open the treasures of the wisdom of God, and would you impart it into our lives. God, I know what you did for Solomon, a man that loved you, a man that gave great sacrifices. And when you said, ask what you will and I'll give it, he said, I'm just a child and I don't know how to go in and I don't know how to go out. Lord, that you would give me wisdom, that I might be able to judge your people, that I might be able to lead them and guide them. And God, not only did you give him wisdom, but God, you gave him many other blessings that were intermingled and braided amongst the wisdom of God. And Father, we could have chosen that text tonight to look at, and we would have gotten great help. But Lord, we need to know, all we need to do is ask, and to ask in faith, and to wait on you. Yes, God, to wait on you. So God, as we bow, we pray, God, that you'd give us a supply of wisdom. God, I thank you for hearing us. I don't want to be unstable. I don't want to be double-minded. I don't want to be a rolling wind or a wind or a rolling wave or a wind-driven wave. I just want to ask in faith, just simply, and ask God for your leadership and your guidance and wisdom. And with this, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.